us, Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love.
Walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song. Oh, why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight? Welcome them to the service. Tonight. Amen. Good to be in service tonight together. And just want to make a couple of announcements. Lord willing, this coming Friday, which is Friday, April the 7th, and also Saturday, April the 8th, there'll be some brothers that are going to be doing some landscaping work here at the church. And if you brothers have some available time and want to volunteer to help with that, just contact Brother Jimmy. Either after service or sometime this week, and he can try to coordinate the times and all that with you. And then Saturday, April the 8th, which is this coming Saturday, at 9 a.m., I believe they're going to try to get together and do a little bit of spring cleaning here at the church as well. And if some of you sisters have some time to be able to help with that, just contact Sister Christy, and she can coordinate that with you as far as what they need and things like that. So if you can, we appreciate it. And if you got other plans and conflict, we obviously understand that. But also want to bring several prayer requests before the Lord. Sister Stephanie Duval, she's not feeling well. Want to remember her in prayer. And then also Sister Estera, she's got some upper respiratory issues and an infection that she's dealing with as well. So want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Furman's aunt that's been diagnosed with cancer, they turned her over to hospice, so I want to remember her in prayer. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Arnie, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests this evening? Amen. No matter how dark it seems or what the trial is, God is more than able to come on the scene for these requests. So, amen.
Praise the Lord. It's a great honor that we have to be able to come to Him anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. It's going to take one half of a minute, and I'm going to tell on Brother Buckles. We were praying for some people around the altar a couple of weeks ago, and after we finished, we brothers were embracing one another, and Brother Buckles gave me a little bear hug, and he said, Brother Arnie, I love you with all my heart, and it just made me feel unworthy, but I'll take that, brother. And That's what makes us a family. See, if it wasn't for the Lord, Brother Buckles and I would maybe never even see each other or have anything to say, but I'm just so glad that I'm part of the family of God. There is only, you know, this can clear up a whole lot of confusion. There's only one church. It's the blood-bought church of Christ. Just before we pray, let me give you a little suggestion. If you ever need a little encouragement, if you're like you need a little pick-me-up, go into some of Brother Branham's messages and read his prayers. I looked at one the other day. It was from December the 7th, 1947. And he said, he began to pray and he said, we come to you just as humbly as we know how. But what choked me up was what he said before that, the way that he addressed the Lord. Here's what he said. Father dear, we come to you just as humbly as we know how. And I thought, oh, Lord, if you could just give me that kind of attitude. And I don't think that was a slip of the tongue or dyslexia. I think he meant it just the way that he said it. Amen. So let's bow our heads tonight. Father, you are dear to us. We love you because you first loved us. And the prophet said, I love you, Lord, and the only way that I know that I love you is because we love each other. And we're so grateful for that. Lord, before we ask you for these needs that have been mentioned, we have another list that's even greater. It's a gratitude list that, Lord, we can think of all the prayers that have been answered. People that Brother Nathan has visited in hospitals and in their homes, and they've given testimony that they were healed of sickness and diseases. There have been complications that have been driven back. There have been mountains in our way that have vanished at the very mention of the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And Lord, this gratitude list is what gives us faith to believe that tonight, once again, you will undertake for these needs that have been mentioned. I can't mention them all, but you know each one of them. So we're asking you, Lord, just like Samson, just once more, come on the scene for your people. We need you, Lord. There are undertakers who take care of dead bodies. But Lord, you're the great undertaker that takes care of a living body. And we're so grateful, Lord, for all the times that you've lifted us up. And when it looked like there was no hope, you were still the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're so grateful for this dear group of people and a humble, anointed pastor who brings the word straight from the heart of God, and we're so thankful for that. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to be more like you. Help us all to be more like you. Lord, we have friends and brothers and sisters here who are closer to us, and we love them more than our own kinfolks. And that's because of the spiritual love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. We can't take one iota of credit. Brother Branham said it's not what we can do, it's what he has already done. So we ask you now, Lord, as the word comes forth tonight, that you would bless hearts and lift us up. Each one of these needs that have been mentioned, let us hear testimony that the great undertaker was on the job again. And we love you, Lord, because you first loved us, and we ask that we would always live lives that would lift up the precious name of Christ Jesus. And all the people said, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. I believe Brother Buckles has a special for us this evening.
A little song I'm about to sing. One day at a time. And you know, there's scripture for that. And he says that we should not be borrowing for tomorrow, but he says let every day be what it wants to be. And because we don't have any promises for tomorrow, we just have to trust the Lord for right now. Amen. I think it's in C. I thank the Lord for his love and his goodness. Oh, he is so good, so sweet. The Lord is sweet.
Amen.
Yes, he is. He is really sweet. You just get down in the middle of him and you'll find out. Oh my, it's wonderful what he can be to you.
Amen.
In your spirit, in your soul, in your heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It'll make you love your brother.
Amen.
And make you love your sister. Amen. It'll make you stand firm and look neither way, but look toward Jerusalem. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. I think that's what Daniel did, didn't he? He opened that window and he looked toward Jerusalem. And things began to happen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm only human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me to be what I can be. And all that I am, show me the stairway that I have to climb. And so for my sake, please teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time. Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. And yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never. And so for today, please teach me to take one day at a time. Do you remember you walked among men? Jesus, you know if you're looking, it's worse now and then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. And so for my sake, please teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking for you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. And yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. And so for today, please teach me today, one day at a time, one day at a time.
Appreciate that, Brother Buckles. Amen. You glad you're free tonight? Amen. Well, for a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Well, then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out that He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Been washed in the
glad that I found out that He could bring me out.
Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Oh, just take up your cross each and every day. Oh, and don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Oh, count the cost, then take up your cross and follow Him. Oh, let's just take up our cross. I want to follow Jesus. Oh, I'll take up my cross each and every day. Oh, I won't be ashamed, oh, to say that I love Him. No, I'll count the cost, then take up my cross and follow Him. Oh, one more time together. I want to take up my cross. I'm gonna follow Jesus. Lord, I'll take up my cross each and every day. No, I won't be ashamed to say that I know Him. I'll count the cost, then take up the cross and follow Him. And I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, I'm gonna praise. praise the Lord. Oh yes, Lord, I'm gonna praise my Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, still I'm gonna praise my Lord. Oh yes, I'm gonna praise the Lord. Dear Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, oh, one more time together, let's just praise Him tonight. Oh,
is that what you came to do tonight? Amen. Amen. Maybe the storm tried to keep you away. Maybe work tried to keep you away. Maybe things came up today and tried to keep you away, but we made it here. Right. Amen. So I don't want to just come and sit here and say, we went to church tonight and check it off our list, but I want to praise Him while I'm here.
Amen.
I want to worship Him. I was made to worship Him.
Amen.
My lips was made to worship Him. My tongue was made to worship Him. My hands was made to worship Him. Even my feet was made to worship Him.
Amen.
Amen. So I don't want to just come to church and just say, well, we made it. But I want to do something for Him while I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalms tonight, the book of Psalms. And I want to look at chapter 16, just a few verses. We've been looking at this thought for quite a few months on Speak the Word. And the last few weeks we've been looking at the life of Jesus when He was here on earth in a flesh body. And we want to pick that up again tonight with the help of the Lord. But I want to look at something that David prophesied about the Lord before we go into that tonight. Psalm chapter 16 and verse 8. And he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we begin to look into the Scriptures this evening, Lord, I just ask that You would be with me, Lord, as I talk about You for a little while. Help me to get my own thoughts, Lord, my own personality, my own opinions, just so completely out of the way. Help me to yield to You, Lord, what You would have me to do and what You would have me to say. Lord, no matter how much You would help me in being able to do that, no matter if You would come in a supernatural way and do those things, replace my thoughts with Yours, Lord. If the hearers aren't anointed to receive, Lord, then what good would it do us tonight? But Lord, may You also not just anoint the platform tonight, Lord, but may You anoint the congregation, Lord. Anoint their not only their ears to hear it audibly, because we know that the devil can hear the word audibly. But Lord, we want it to sink down into our hearts. Lord, we want to be not just hearers in our ears, but we want to hear it and receive it with our hearts. And then, Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but then we want to put it in action and be doers of the word, Father. Lord, may You just be with us tonight. Lord, if Your word says, Lord, that we should clap our hands, then, Lord, help us to clap our hands. If the Lord says to praise You in the word, Lord, we want to praise You with everything that's within us. Lord, if it tells us how to live and how to act and how to walk and what to say and what to do, Lord, may it not just fall on our auditory senses and into our memory where we could quote it or repeat it, but may it sink down on that inner man, Lord, that soul. And Lord, may it become a living reality in our life. Father, may we be written epistles, read and seen of all men and heard of men, Lord. And Lord, may we just be used by you in some way. Lord, I know you use some greater than others and in different ways than others. But Lord, we want to do our part. Lord, whatever our part would be, if it's to the housewife, if it's to the electrician, if it's to the carpenter, whatever it would be, to the father, the mother, Lord, the children, whatever it would be, we want to do our part in your kingdom, Father. Help us tonight, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. David lived around the time of 1000 B.C., so 1,000 years before Christ. And different historians and different chronologies, they give different dates and things. But he lived from around the time of about 1040 B.C., to about the time of 970 B.C. So I'm just kind of rounding it up here. I don't know exactly when this psalm was written, but around 1,000 years before Christ. And then Jesus, when he's here on earth, he begins to speak to the Jews. And in St. John chapter 2, verse 18, if you want to turn tonight, you can read it with me. Jesus begins to talk to the Jews. And in verse 18 of St. John chapter 2, it says, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" Remember, Brother Branham quotes it in 20th Century Prophet. He's quoting Jesus. He said that the Jews seek signs and the Greeks seek wisdom. So they're seeking a sign from him. And Jesus answered in verse 19 and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Amen. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now he speaks this, and when he speaks it, he's speaking to the Jews. He speaks it in a parable form, and it goes right over the top of their head. They're doing like many of us, looking at the bricks and the stones and the mortar and looking at the natural. But he wasn't talking about the physical building of the temple. But what he's talking about is the temple of his body. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Now, the Jews had the Hebrew Bible, which they called the Tanakh, which is the Old Testament was translated from that, the Hebrew Bible, and it was split into three sections. The first was the Torah, which was the writings of the five books of Moses. The second was the Nevi'im, which was the prophets, the prophetical teachings of the major and minor prophets in the Old Testament. And the third was the Ketuvim, which was primarily consisted of the poetic books like Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. And the Jews believed that the Torah, they believed that was their law and that they had to live by that. And then they believed that the Nevi'im, the prophets, it was divinely inspired and it was authoritative, and that they should follow these prophecies of the prophets. But the Ketuvim, which was the Psalms and the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, they believed that it was given under divine inspiration, but it had less authority than these other two portions. I thank God that by revelation we can take all of what is said. Amen. I believe the Psalms just as much as I believe Revelation or Genesis or any part of it. It's all the Word of God. But they had begun to divide and dissect. That shouldn't be strange to us. It comes right down into the message. And people say, well, before 63, this and that. And after 63, this is that. And they cut and divide and dissect. And they pick their favorite quotes. And if you're not careful, when you try to share something with them, they'll say, well, was that before 63 or after 63? Or, you know, where was this and what was that? I just take all that he said. I believe it. I don't believe it's contradictory. If he came around and corrected something himself, then praise God. We thank God for that revelation. We're not ashamed of that to show people that he corrected something. He wasn't ashamed of it. When the Holy Spirit came, he said there, when he would begin to preach the first seal, he said, "I was absolutely wrong." He said, "I thought it was actually Christ was the white horse rider." And when he preached it and preached all seven church ages there real quick together in one sermon, he said, "I had actually preached it wrong." But he said, "When an angel comes and stands and tells you, then that's different. I have no problem with that." Amen. I have no problem preaching that. I have no problem showing it to people because he corrected it. But the problem is when we begin to come around and try to correct things that he didn't correct, that's when we get into trouble. And the Jews had done this just out of tradition. They didn't have anything telling them. Moses didn't tell them, hey, when David and Solomon, these guys come along, they're not as inspired as I am. They didn't have any scripture telling them this. This was just their tradition that they kept to the Torah and to the prophets more than they did to the teaching of the poetic books. And so when Jesus comes and he speaks some of the things to the Jews that he does, they probably weren't taking him very seriously because many times he was quoting out of the Psalms and they thought, well, you know, it's sort of inspired, but it's not authoritative. But he recognized that every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that's what man should live by. Not our favorite quote, not our favorite scripture, not just the ones that rubs our doctrine the right way, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We should live by it. It's our life. And so when he comes along and he makes this claim that in 3 days, if they destroyed this temple, he would raise it up. They went around, and even when they go to crucify him, they begin to throw this in his face and said, he, you know, he's a terrorist. He's talking about destroying the temple. But they failed to recognize what he was truly saying and why that he was truly saying it. But in Faith Cometh by Hearing, 1954, Brother Branham says he's in prayer here. As Brother Arnie was talking about the different prayers and their encouragement. He says, thinking back there in the scriptures, when you come on earth, you believed the word of God. When he came on earth, he believed the word of God. There he was, the word of God. But he says, you believed the word of God. In fact, as we looked at it when we first started this series, I guess 38 parts ago, when we first started, I think we was back at the... Maybe at the Optimist Club, I think, when we started this series back in July of last year. And when we started this, the very first one we began to look at was how that God in the beginning, when he spoke the word in Genesis, Brother Branham said that he believed his own word. Right. And he said, let there be, and there was, because he believed his own word. And he says, you come to earth, you believed the word of God. You knew that God would keep his word. That's the reason you said, to destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. For David had said, I will not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my holy one to see corruption. You believed the word of God on that one promise. Amen. And went down into the dungeons of darkness, because you knowed God would keep his promise, for David was a prophet, and the prophet would not lie under the inspiration. And I thank thee, Heavenly Father, for setting that example. I thank thee, Heavenly Father, for setting that example, that he would walk out there in the face of the scribes and of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He would walk out there in the face of those Jews that knew their Bible, and he would make this claim that you destroy this temple. You go ahead. You let the Romans crucify it and put it in a tomb, and you lay me down there. But within three days, I'll raise it up again. He didn't say God would raise it up again. He said, I'll raise it up again. How could he have the authority to say that? Because he was God in the flesh. Amen. And it was God that was speaking through him. Brother Branham said he was either God or he was the greatest deceiver that ever lived on the face of the earth. He was more than a man. Brother Branham said it was a man when he walked down there. And he cried at the grave of Lazarus, and he could weep emotionally to see his friends crying over their brother. But he said when he straightened up those shoulders and said, he cried with a loud voice, said, Lazarus, come forth. He said that was more than a man. Amen. He said that was a man when he laid there on the back of the boat, and he was tired and weary from casting out devils, and he laid down on a pillow in the back of the boat, and the waves even coming into the boat, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, to where even the boat began to fill up and the disciples began to panic. He was a man laying there asleep, but when he stood up and he stepped over on the side of the ship there and he said, peace, be still. He said that was more than a man. Amen. That the disciples could even comment and say, what manner of man is this that the winds and the waves obey him? Right. Why, it was more than a man. It was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Paul said in Colossians, it pleased him that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily should dwell in him. Right. I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. When I called about our insurance, when we first went full-time in the ministry with the church and had to figure out some health insurance, I called and was trying to find some Christian-based health insurances. And two of the ones that we were trying to go with, I won't call their names, but they wanted you to sign a Trinitarian statement of faith. And so one of them, I contacted them at their call center, called their 800 number, and I said, will you let me sign a little addendum to the side of that saying what I mean by the Trinity, by what I mean by I believe in the Trinity. And they said, well, we'd have to transfer you to one of our chaplains. And so they transferred me over, and I said, sir, I'd like to sign up for your insurance, but there's a clause here that says I have to sign a statement saying that I believe in the Trinity. And I said, before I do that, I'd like to write a little note under that describing what I mean by the Trinity. And he said, well, could you explain to me what you mean? I said, well, yes, sir. I said, in Genesis chapter 1, it said that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I said, I don't believe that God is three persons or three personalities, but I believe that it was three attributes of God unfolding himself and unveiling himself as Father, as Son, and as Holy Ghost. I believe it was attributes that were in God. And he said, well, could you explain to me a little bit what you mean by these attributes? I said, well, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you go over to Colossians 1, and St. Paul says that Jesus, all things were created by him and for him. Him, and without him wasn't anything ever made.
Right.
I said, so did Moses lie or did Paul lie? He said, well, I don't know. I've never thought about it like that, but I don't think we could let you do that. But I thought, I bet every time he turns over to Colossians or Genesis, he thinks about it. Because Paul didn't lie and neither did Moses lie. Maybe you could stand there and say, oh my, well, you know, there was Moses back there. He was closer to the creation. I'll take his word for it. And somebody else say, no, well, Paul was the first church age messenger. I'll take his word for it. They didn't contradict one another, but it's just that we failed to look at it by revelation until a prophet came and exposed what the denominations had done down through the church ages, taking away a little here and a little there, just as Joel had prophesied and said, as the palmer worm and the canker worm and the caterpillar has taken away, but he said, I will restore, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for restoration in this age.
Amen.
And here he comes. Brother Bram says again, the word became flesh in 1954 as he walked on the earth. He knew that he was going to raise up the third day. Why? Because David, under inspiration, said, I will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption.
Right.
He said, therefore, my heart rejoiced and my flesh was made, hath made glad when Jesus, under one word, unction, spoke by God through a man that had his ups and downs, David. David said, I will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Jesus said, tear down this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. Hallelujah. He said he believed in the immortal word of God. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Are you sure, Jesus? Maybe Satan could have thrown it in his face as he tempted him there in the wilderness. Are you sure about this? You're staking your kingship. You're staking your sonship. You're staking your deity on the words of a man that backslid. These words were spoken by a man that not only committed adultery and got another man's wife pregnant, but this man then went out and tried to have this man killed in battle to cover this thing up. Are you sure that you really want to stake your deity, your Godhead, your infallibility, your sonship? Are you sure you want to stake this on the words of a man that backslid? You know, you have no other scripture in the Old Testament to prove that it's going to be within 3 days. You really sure you want to go there? One word was all he needed. He knew that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God was going to come to pass.
Right?
The difference between Jesus and Satan, well, there was a lot of them. We don't have time to go through all that tonight. But one of the main differences was Satan was looking at the man that spoke the word, but Jesus was looking at the God that was speaking the word through the man. Many times that's where we get mixed up. That's why people around the message have actually worshiped and prayed in Brother Branham's name and worshiped the man, because they got to looking at the man instead of looking at the God that was speaking through the man.
That's why that there's people walking away and leaving the message and putting up websites and making fun of it and saying blasphemous things, is because they got to looking at the man too much instead of looking at the God that was speaking through the man. They tried to find faults with the man. They tried to find mistakes with the man. And I don't believe there's any there, but if you want to look hard enough, Satan will certainly show them to you. You look at this Bible long enough and you look for mistakes, there'll be some atheist that'll come along and try to show them to you. Yet I don't believe there's one mistake in there. But in their intellectual mind, they'll find some. Why? Because they're looking at the men that wrote the words. They're looking at the scribes that translated the words, and they claim, oh, well, you know, they messed up numbers over here and they messed up this over here and the translators and the translations and all these different things. I believe it's the infallible Word of God. The difference between me and them is because they're looking at the men that put the pens to the pages. But the bride of Jesus Christ is looking to the God that inspired the men of what to write on the pages. Amen. 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 We don't just look to the men, but we look to the God that was operating behind the men. David could stand there with all of his mistakes. Maybe he felt absolutely inadequate to even speak some of the words that he did and to write some of the psalms that he did. Maybe people could stand there and look and question and say, David's been dead for years. Nobody's raised him up. But yet he said, I won't suffer my Holy One to see corruption. He must have thought he was holy. But they failed to recognize David was not speaking of himself, but David was speaking of one to come. I wonder if many times we've got confused about the message and tried to make everything this and everything that and every scripture point to this and every scripture point to that, because we've looked too much at what the flesh was doing instead of looking and seeing what the Spirit was saying into the churches. All right. There was many times Brother Branham said that those men would speak as though they were speaking of themselves, and then come to find out years later it wasn't those men speaking at all. It was the Spirit speaking through those men. All right. David could say, they pierced my hands and my feet. They look upon me. They mock me. They chide their teeth at me. All these different things that they could say. David, you must be crazy. He's already in the grave. He's already rotted. His son's king. Look at this man. They never pierced his hands or his feet. Who was chiding at him? Who looked upon him? Who did these things? Here he is, his body's already corrupting, but yet he said, I won't suffer my Holy One to see corruption. You failed to recognize who David was speaking about. Many times I wonder if we've tried to make it, this isn't to belittle Brother Branham or his ministry or the message, but many times we've tried to make everything and every scripture that he didn't even claim was scriptures about him, instead of taking what the Spirit was saying and allowing it to be the Spirit of God instead of just the words of a man. Amen. It's a very careful line to walk. Because if you're not careful, you'll fall off on one side and you'll make it all about the man, and then you'll begin to find out, well, wait a minute. But look at what this man did. Look at what David did. Look at what David said. Look at how David acted. It wasn't so much about David as it was the God that was speaking through David. Amen. Oh, what a careful line to walk. That's why people walk away from the message. Is because many times all they've been exposed to is the messenger. And that's all right. I love the messenger. I'd be down here probably a Pentecostal or Baptist preacher if it wasn't for the messenger. You had been out here at some Catholic church or some Trinitarian church, maybe following some short-haired, bobbed-haired woman pastor with earrings down to here and didn't know a hill of beans about the Word of God, but could say some pretty things that would make you feel good if it hadn't been for the messenger. Amen. But remember, the messenger's job was to point us to Jacob, to Israel, to Isaac rather, I'm sorry, to Israel. Eliezer didn't come to say, hey, look at me, everybody. I heard somebody on one of these websites trying to talk evil of Brother Branham said that he glorified himself. I thought, what tape have you been listening to? This man never glorified himself. This man never tried to lift himself up. He was the humblest man I've ever heard speak. He pointed people to Jesus Christ. Constantly pointing them to Jesus Christ. He said, I can't heal anybody. He said, if I could, I'd certainly go down there and heal my mother. If he was a self-promoter and a self-proclaimed prophet, why would he say things like that? He didn't have to self-proclaim himself. He was vindicated with a pillar of fire over his head that vindicated and proclaimed who he was. He didn't have to go out and proclaim himself like a lot of the men did, Oral Roberts and different ones that would come out, and their managers would come out and say, the man of the hour. Oh, they failed to recognize who the man of the hour was. But he didn't need no puppet, and he didn't need no secretary or somebody to come out and run out and say and proclaim who he was. There was a voice down on the river that had already proclaimed who he was. And all the demons out of hell couldn't stop it. But he didn't run around and carry a banner and say, look who I am. He pointed us to Jesus Christ. Oh my. They got to looking at David. This man corrupted in the grave. But it wasn't the words of David. They got to looking at David's faults and his mistakes and his betrayal, how he would go in and take Bathsheba. They got to looking at all those different things, and they said, you know, we believe that these writings are inspired, but we don't think they're as authoritative as Moses' words or as some of the major or minor prophets. They failed to even recognize that David was a prophet. Why? They got to looking at the man instead of looking at the words that the man was speaking. I know that stirs some of you up tonight, but Brother Branham said himself, he said, don't pay no attention to the messenger. You pay attention to the message. That doesn't mean we do away with the messenger. Amen. But we don't lift him up above Jesus. Jesus was the message. Jesus was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John said there was one that was sent whose name was John. And he didn't come to speak of himself, but he came to speak of one that would come, whose shoes he wasn't even worthy to loose. And he said, I must decrease that he can increase. And Brother Branham's ministry was supposed to type John's to the letter. He said that's why it didn't even discourage him when those men came and tried to worship him. Some of his own friends, because they did the same thing to John the Baptist, came and said, are you the Messiah? Should we worship you, or do we look for another? He said, I'm not even worthy to loose his shoes. He was pointing. He wasn't the light, but he was pointing to the light. Amen. And he was vindicated by the light. Amen. Brother Branham said, I'm not the Son of Man. He said, I'm a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. Right. He said, I wasn't the one that spoke down there on the river. I was just the one that was standing by when he spoke. Right. He didn't have to vindicate himself. God had already vindicated him. Under one word, unction, he said, spoke by God through a man that had his ups and downs. Goodness. What visions are 1956? He said, that's the reason Jesus' body couldn't lay 3 days and nights in the grave, because David said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Not one cell would corrupt. Corruption sets in. That's the reason some people say, oh, he never laid in the grave. He died on Friday afternoon and rose up Sunday morning. But within that 3 days and nights, he knowed he was coming forth, because one prophecy, one word in the Bible by a prophet said, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And he knew that within 72 hours, corruption would set in. And sometime between there, God would bring him out. He hinged his whole reputation on the word of this man that backslid. He hinged his whole reputation on this prophecy that the Jews didn't even believe this man was a prophet. Right? But he said, I believe it. Because it wasn't David's word. It was God's word.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, some of these people making fun of the message out here, saying there's mistakes and saying there's this and saying there's that, they think they're making fun of Brother Branham. It wasn't Brother Branham's message. It was God's message direct to his bride, that he just borrowed the lips of his prophet. Brother Branham said it many times in the prayer lines. He said, God grants me temporary resurrections so that my spirit can leave. Where did it go? I don't know, Brother Hoover. I don't know where his spirit went. It went somewhere. And his spirit can come in so that he can borrow my lips and he can borrow my vocal cords. He said, and I'm so happy to loan him anything of mine that he can use. To where he would stand there and he would say, now, was what he told you the truth? He said, I'll have to go back and listen on the tape to see what was said. Now, was he just saying that to be saying it? I don't believe it one bit that he would just say that if it wasn't true. But God's spirit came in and took control so much that he didn't even know the words that he was saying. He'd have to go back and listen to it on tape. And even his own enemies, even the managers that turned against him, had to testify and say it was never wrong one time. Never wrong one time. That's more than any man can produce. That's God using a man. That's why it was so easy for those to stand there and look and actually take it to a level of worship, because they saw God working so mightily through this man that they thought it had to actually be God. Well, in portion it was. Just like Brother Jimmy is a portion of God, and Brother Hoover and Brother Buckles and different ones. It's a portion of deity. People get so scared of the deity spirit. I don't have no problem with the deity spirit if you'll teach it the right way. Don't just say he was deity. Say that I'm deity and Brother Layton's deity and all of us a portion of deity. But there was only one that was the fullness of deity. There was only one that was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he came and gave his life for my sins. He came and took my cross when I deserved it. He came and took my stripes when it should have been my stripes, Brother Hoover. He came and took my nails when it should have been my nails. He came and they pierced his side when it was me that deserved it. But he was infallible. He was perfect. He was sinless. Brother Branham said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. What? People have a problem with that. But that's even more of a testimony to me that the same man that could say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, could turn around and say, and he's used my humble little ministry to do more works than he did in his own. That God could take a sinner saved by grace that was born, not a virgin birth, but born of Charles and Ella Branham, and he could take that man and use him to heal more dead people, raise more dead people than he did in his own ministry. Jesus raised 3 people from the dead. The widow at Nain's son, Lazarus, and Jairus' daughter. He raised 3. I know of at least 10 in Brother Branham's meetings that was raised from the dead. He did more. He says many times, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in this next part of the series, but I'll just give you a little glimpse. He said in Shalom in 1964, he said, I always said that the scripture there, greater works than this shall you do. He said, I always said it couldn't be greater, but the translation should have been more, because there was going to be, instead of just Jesus, there was going to be others going out and doing more. But he said once he said, I saw that scripture there one day said, ask what you will. And he said, I spoke, and there was a squirrel spoken into existence where there wasn't anything else. He said, Jesus had sat there and broke off some fish and broke off some bread, but there was already bread and there was already fish there. But he said, in our age, he created where there wasn't anything. He said, there's your greater works. You mean God could use a sinner saved by grace to do something like that? You know, and then we live so below our privileges. Amen. We'll never be the messenger. I'm not trying to be. Hey man, I'm not trying to restore the word. He already did it. Amen. I'm not trying to produce the sign of the Son of Man. He already did that. I don't need to try to replicate it or try to copy it. But what I am going to do is whatever God calls me to do for my part as a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I don't want to be ashamed and embarrassed and say, Lord, do you think maybe that you could possibly speak the word? Amen. What did he say to Moses? Why cry thou unto me? Speak. Now, that's not name it and claim it and get you a Lamborghini. That's in a time of need. The bride of Jesus Christ can cry out and say, God, I have a need tonight. And if you could do it for Jesus, if you could do it for Brother Branham, if you could do it for Paul, you're the same God tonight. Amen. Oh, my. There's a man here that can turn on the light, 1963. And when Jesus raised from the dead, he also was the light of the spoken word of David. He was the light of the spoken word of David. Now, was it the spoken word of God or was it the spoken word of David? It depends on what you're looking at. David's vocal cords spoke the words. David's hand penned the words. But it was the spoken word of God spoken through David. If it was just the spoken word of David, then Jesus would, there's no way that he would have risked his reputation and his deity and his Godhead and his sonship and all that and say, within 3 days, I'll raise this temple up again over one scripture of one man that backslid that he had said it. There's no way he would have risked that on the words of a man, but he knew that it was more than David that spoke those words. Amen. Which said, I'll not leave his soul in hell. Neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. Death was in darkness, but he broke open the seals of death and walked into it and come back out again. He was the light, the vindicated word that the dead can live after they are dead. All right. That shouldn't just be an Easter sermon. That should give us hope. Amen. That if he proved it, that the dead can live again, then it can be for me too.
Amen.
Brother Layton's already proved it. There's others that have already proved it, that the dead can live again. It is the rising of the sun, 1965. He was so full of quickening power. He said this, "You destroy this body and I'll raise it up in 3 days." Talk about confidence in quickening power. Destroy this body and I'll, this temple, and I'll bring it up in 3 days. Why? Why did he say that? He knew that it was written of him. See, that it was written of him by the word of God, which could not fail. The word said, "I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will I leave his soul in hell." And he knew that quickening power would raise him up, that there wouldn't be one cell corrupt. He said, "You destroy this temple and I'll bring it back in 3 days." Why? It was prophecy. The word of God, and prophecy, if it's true word of God, cannot fail.
Amen.
And the same prophecy and word of God that said he'd raise him up says that we're already raised with him.
Amen.
Already raised with him. Already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. The same word. It's so easy for us to believe that he's raised, but it's hard for us to recognize that we've already raised. Don't get scared. I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about you that was sin, dead in sins and trespasses. Has he quickened? He's quickened you to where you used to want to go out and get a cigarette, and you used to want to go out and get a bottle of alcohol, and you used to want to go out and get a drug fix, or you used to want to go out and commit adultery and all these different things. You used to serve the lusts of the flesh, but then one day your craving turned. Instead of wanting to go and reach and get a pack of cigarettes, you wanted to go and reach and get your Bible or a book or a tape, and there was something about the desires on the inside of you begin to change because he had already quickened that inside man. As the earth, that if he could quicken the soul, that the same God that could quicken the soul could quicken your mortal body, and that mortal would one day put on immortality. He's already proved it by himself. He laid his body down and he raised it up again, and he knew that that word couldn't fail. One of these guys out here that left the message, he kept trying to send me, "Oh, this prophecy failed and that prophecy failed." I finally told him, I said, "You'll never convince me that one of those prophecies failed. You'll never convince me that one of them failed." Can you imagine the websites they could have had about Isaiah about 400 years into this prophecy that a virgin should conceive? Oh, the prophecy failed. The prophecy failed. Just wait another 400 years. It's coming to pass.
Amen.
Amen. We try to put time limits on God. I believe it's Habakkuk chapter 2 said that even though the vision tarry, it shall not tarry. People scratch their head and say, "How on earth can that be? Even though the vision tarry, it shall not tarry." Because many times, no doubt to Isaiah's congregation, it looked like the vision tarried. No doubt to those, his great, 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 great grandchildren of his congregation, that many of them had begun to fall away and said, "A virgin never did conceive." It looked like the vision was tarrying, but in God's eyes, it was right on time. He couldn't send the vision in Habakkuk's day because there didn't need to be a virgin conceived in that day. But there came a time that Christ was to be on the earth, and it was right on time.
Amen.
God's word is always right on time. Sister Mandy sang it Sunday morning. Even when you think he's 4 days late, he's right on time.
Amen.
His prophecy is true. The word of God is true. It cannot fail. And Jesus knew that. And there he stood in a flesh body. And he said, "You might destroy this temple, but I'll raise it up within 3 days." On one scripture.
Right.
One scripture that he laid his faith in. He didn't have 20 quotes. He didn't have 20 scriptures. One verse of scripture.
Right.
That a man that backslide had wrote in the Psalms. A book that the Jews just thought was just some nice poetry. It was anointed, but it wasn't really authoritative. And he said, "The word of God cannot fail."
Amen.
Job chapter 19. And verse 25, Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Job was way ahead of science. He already recognized that it was his skin worms that those skin worms didn't come from somewhere else in the ground, but it was his own skin worms that was going to destroy his own body. Science now tells us that the bacteria in your kidneys and in your bladder and in your intestines and all this stuff, those bacteria, they begin to multiply and form cells and things once your body dies, and it becomes these skin worms that begin to eat and destroy the body from the inside out. Brother Bram said that's what America has done. He said it's not the robin that pecks away at the apple that hurts it. It's the worm at the core. And what have we done? Well, she's ate herself away from the inside out. America has, with all her corruption and pollution and crooked politicians and all the things that they've done and compromised. And when our original Continental Congress could kneel there and pray a prayer of faith and talk about how it was going to be a country that was based on God, many of them are scared to talk about those things today. Why? Because they've taken prayer out of the schools, and they've taken the Ten Commandments out of the schools, and they've taken the prayer and the Ten Commandments out of the Capitol buildings. And then when there's bombings and shootings and things, they laugh and say, well, why didn't God do something about it? You've taken him out. Right. You've tied his hands and said, we don't want you here. Just like they did in Gennesaret. They said, we don't want you here. You go on back across the river. We don't want you. You might hurt our hog sales. You go on and leave. The very one that could help them, they kicked him out of town. He was a gentleman. He said, that's fine, I'll go. But you see what it produced. Brother Bram said there was more at home with the devils and the pigs than there was with the sweet Lord Jesus. After my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Jesus says in St. John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Right.
Go wake Jesus, 1963. He said, this clod that's walking around with the life in it, when the life leaves it, it's right back dust again. To dust thou art, to dust returneth. Remember the Psalm of Life? Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he said, was not spoken of the soul. They stand there and they throw clods of dirt, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. From dust thou art, to dust returneth. What are you? Brother Ram said those men stood there and looking back and forth at one another, said they weren't worth hardly anything. The calcium and potash and everything that it took to make up the chemicals of a human being. He said, yet you'll put on a $500 mink coat or a $300 hat. And he said, you'll stick your nose up. If it rained, it'd drown you. Why? You think you're somebody because of what you've got that dirt wrapped in. Just a bunch of dirt. And he said, this clod of dirt, this clod that's walking around with life in it, when life leaves it, it's back to dust again. But what did he say in his word? I'll raise it up again at the last days. Amen. I'll raise it up. He promised it. After the body has perished, after the dust has broke out, and it goes back to the gases of the earth. Yet, as I said the other night, you can't annihilate nothing. Man can't. There's no annihilation. Man can't annihilate anything. It's only God can do that. And remember, he will, though it be a spoonful of ashes. He said, I'll raise it up again at the last day. That dirt will have to obey his commandment because he created it.
Amen.
Where did you come from? Where did you come from, Joel Heron-Bassick? You was just some dust out there somewhere. Where did you come from, William Layton? You say, well, my daddy and my mommy got together and they conceived me. My grandparents before them, they met at a cafeteria one time for lunch during wartime. And he was a soldier and she was a nurse. And they fell in love and they looked into one another's eyes. And that produced my daddy. And then he met my mother and it produced me. And on the way back to your great-great-grandfather, God was getting this one with that one and this one with that one. But where did you come from? Brother Bram said, even that body, the predestinated body of Jesus Christ, he said it was in the dust right here on earth when he spoke and said, let there be. Those chemicals and potash and all that was right here in the earth laying here. So were you. And you came from that. And if you're going to go back to that, how could Job say, even though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see God? Because he looked by vision and he saw that his Redeemer lived. And then he said, I'll raise it up again. I'll raise it up again. He had power to raise up his own self, his own word. He spoke the word and his own word brought himself forth. He said that what they were going to do, that how they were going to take with wicked hands and crucify him. But he said, then I'll raise again the third day. His own word produced the results.
Amen.
There he was, the spoken word in flesh, and his own spoken word brought himself back up out of the grave. He said that dirt will have to obey his commandment because he created it. If the wind and the wave obey him, so does the dirt obey him. Amen. 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 If he could speak to the winds and the waves and they could obey him, what about your body tonight? You say, I've got sickness in my body. Who do you think created that body? You say, I've got this kind of problem. I got this kind of sickness. I got that kind of sickness. I got this kind of disease. And the doctor says, I got this. And they say, I've got that. And they say, you know, I've got these problems. And they've diagnosed me with this. And they've stereotyped me with that. And all these different things. Who created that body? If the winds and the waves has to obey him, so does the dirt of Nathan Bryant's body.
Amen.
Go Wake Jesus, 1963. Let us remember also, he made our bodies. They have to obey him also. Show Us the Father, 1954. Jesus said, you destroy this body and I'll raise it up in 3 days. He was in the grave. He knowed he'd come out within 72 hours. He knowed he'd be out there, for David said so on one promise. But he believed the word of God. That's right. He said, look, 600 and something promises of divine healing and we sit slumbering. Oh my, claim to be his children. He says, rise. Believe him, that's right.
Amen.
He staked his entire reputation on one promise,
right.
One scripture. We've got hundreds of scriptures on divine healing. Hundreds of scriptures where he tells us, fear not. One for every day of the year, I think it is. Fear not, fear not, fear not. What have we got to be afraid of? What have we got to be worried about? The doctor diagnosed you with something and slapped a name on it. The psychiatrist diagnosed you with something and put a label on it. This dirt has to obey the word of God.
Amen.
If the winds and the waves have to obey him, then so does this dirt.
Amen.
And if he could put all of his confidence and all of his reputation and the very fact that he was the Son of God, stake it on one scripture, one verse that one man that backslid had wrote down 1,000 years before he stood there in a flesh body. How much more should we, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords said, I go to prepare you a place.
Right.
That where I am, there you may also be. He said, I'll raise it up at the last day. I'll raise you up at the last day.
Right.
I'll raise them up at the last day. When he said, I send my peace unto you. In the world you have no peace, but I send you my peace.
Right.
All these promises that we have. And he took his entire reputation and hung it on one scripture. He had that much confidence in the word of God. What should it do to us? How should it build our faith when we have hundreds of these promises of divine healing, salvation, the grace of God, the predestination of the bride of Jesus Christ, all of these scriptures that he's talking about you and promising you what he'll do for you and what he's already done for you if you'll just accept it. If he could stake all of that on one scripture in the Old Testament that the Jews said wasn't even an authority, but he knew it was the word of God no matter what they said. If he could do that, how much more should we as the bride of Jesus Christ
Amen.
Be able to say, I don't care what the doctor says. I appreciate their diagnosis. I appreciate the time they spent with me. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what the psychiatrist says. He says I'm crazy. That's okay. There's other people that say I'm crazy. My family said I was crazy. The other churches say I'm crazy, whatever. But this dirt has to obey its master.
Amen.
Just as the winds and the wave had to obey their master, this dirt, Brother Branham said, God will make your body obey your confession.
Amen.
So you can confess that you're down in the dumps tonight. You can confess that you're defeated and you've lost your victory and you've lost your healing. You've lost all these things. You can confess that and it'll happen. It'll obey its master. The word of your mouth, the power of your testimony. Remember how did he say we overcome them? By the word of our testimony. What is it? He said, God will make your body obey your confession. So you can go out and say, I'm down in the dumps and I'm this and I'm that. Or you can go out and say, I'm more than victorious through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen.
I'm an overcomer. I'm victorious. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm predestinated. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm elected. I'm healed 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't healed when the doctor gave me the prescription and I went down to Walgreens. I was healed when they striped his back 2,000 years
Amen.
Ago. By his stripes I was healed. It's a finished work at Calvary. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to question. I don't have to worry. What if? Maybe so. It's a finished work.
Amen.
Amen. Every promise in the book is ours tonight.
Amen.
Amen. If the musicians would come. The same one that could speak and the winds and the waves would obey him.
The same one that could speak and the eyes of a little blind girl in Jonesboro, Arkansas could come open. You say, that was Brother Branham speaking. Well, I'll just have to agree to disagree then, I guess. It was Brother Branham's vocal cords. I'll agree with you on that. The same one that could speak and say, Mary, was the same one that spoke and said, Lazarus.
That's right.
Don't get it confused tonight. I'm not making him God. But it was God that did the works.
Amen.
That same God, when Brother Hoover prays for somebody, lays their hands on him, or Brother Layton, or Brother Arnie, or Brother Buckles, or myself, or any, doesn't even have to be a minister, any God called Christian. Brother Bram said every Christian has the right to baptize. Every Christian has the right to pray for the sick. You say, I didn't know that. Well, go beat up the devil with it now that you know it. Every Christian has a right to pray for the sick.
Amen.
The same God that could speak and say, Lazarus, come forth, can speak through a little housewife and say, Lord, my child has a fever, but I believe he's healed by your stripes.
Right.
Now, if it produces results, was that really that little housewife speaking, or was it the Holy Spirit interceding through her?
Amen.
Brother Bram said, there he was in that little hotel room. And he was praying. Billy came and knocked at the door for him to go. He said, I'm not ready yet. The Holy Spirit was dealing with him. And he said, all of a sudden he heard somebody. It sounded like they was outside the room talking to the manager, the hotel manager in French. And he thought, that guy doesn't understand French. He's not going to have a bit more idea of what they're saying than anything. He said, I listened. He said, didn't sound like he was coming from outside. And he said, I put my hand over my mouth. And he said, it was me speaking. And he said he got down to the service that night, and there was a lady about to tear the service apart, praising the Lord and testifying what God had did for her, and said she was coming in a car. They had her laid out in the back of a station wagon, and she began to hemorrhage to death. And they laid her out. She said, don't let me die in this car. They laid her out in a field there beside the road, and she was bleeding and hemorrhaging and coughing up blood and about to die. And all of a sudden, it just stopped. And they cleaned her up, and she came to service and testified that God had healed her. He said, what time was that, sister? The same time that God was interceding through the mouth of his prophet. Don't just put all that on the prophet. Paul said that the Holy Spirit maketh intercessions with groanings that cannot be uttered. Maybe sometimes you're in your prayer closet and you say, God, why did you lay that person on my heart? I haven't thought of them in 17 years. Why did you lay this person on my heart? I can't even hardly get along with them. I go down a different aisle if I see them in Walmart. Why would you lay it on my heart to pray for them? The Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings that we don't even know how to pray sometimes. But what is it? It's not us. It's him working through us.
Amen.
Don't put God in a box. Don't put him off in some other age. He's still Hebrews 13 and 8 tonight.
Amen.
He's still on the throne. He's still moving amongst his people.
Right.
If you have a need tonight, why don't you cry out to him? Speak the word for your situation. Say, God, you're the same God that calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. You can calm my storm tonight. You're the same God that can speak and the winds and the waves would obey. You can speak and the dirt of my body will obey whatever you say. Whatever's wrong, maybe it's an emotional scar, he can heal that right up.
Amen.
Maybe there's somebody you haven't been able to forgive your whole life, he can turn that thing right around and make you feel sorry for that person. Say, God, it wasn't that person. Just like Stephen there, when those men were taking and picking up rocks and beating his brains in, he stood there and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do.
Right.
Wonder where he had heard that. Jesus, when he was there on the cross, said, Father, forgive them. Here they were taking beard and ripping it out of his face and spitting on him, pushing a crown of thorns down around his head and putting nails through his hands and his feet. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And somebody talked bad about your uncle or your aunt or the pastor, and you're ready to, oh my, you're just ready to roll up your sleeves. You get that Elijah spirit on you. I'm going to call down fire out of heaven. I'm going to do this. The disciples tried that one time. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Right.
How is it that it was okay for Elijah to do it, but not for the disciples to do it? One, it was God, and one, it was somebody getting in the flesh.
Amen.
Many times, oh my, if I could just call fire down on brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you better be careful what spirit you're of.
Amen.
Brother Bram said the bride, the reason he knew that one seal there, I believe it was the fifth seal, the souls under the altar. He said he knew that couldn't be the bride because they were crying, avenge us, Father. Crying for vengeance. He said, that can't be the bride. That's those martyrs down through the church ages. That's those Jews that was killed under Hitler and Mussolini and Eichmann. All those back down there through those ages crying for vengeance under the altar. But he said, the bride will turn the other cheek.
Amen.
Oh, my. It's shaping up time, friends. It's not playing around times, but it's shaping up time. I want to be able to somebody say something or do something to me and say, Lord, that wasn't that brother that did that. That wasn't that brother. Remember, Jesus didn't rebuke Peter, say he was going to hell in a serpent seed, but yet he said, get behind me, Satan. Why? It wasn't Peter that was speaking, really. It was that spirit that was speaking through him, saying something contrary to what the word was saying. Peter had good intentions. He wanted to protect the Lord. He didn't want to see him take him and crucify him with wicked hands, but Jesus was standing there obedient to the word. This is what the word says that I'm going to do. And Peter was standing there trying to stop the very plan of God with good intentions. But it wasn't that Peter was a devil. It was just that thing that was anointing him, was speaking through him. Just like when Shimei ran down there as we looked at Sunday morning and was throwing rocks and cursing and spitting at David. David said, let him alone. That's not him. God told him to curse me. Just checking to see what David's attitude would be. Saul tried to kill him over and over and over again. David had the opportunity to kill him multiple times. Wouldn't do it. Said, I'm scared to death to touch God's anointed. Oh, my. A lot of us need that attitude a little bit more. Amen. I don't want to touch God's anointed. Amen. But many times we want to roll up our sleeves and correct everybody over here and over there and tell them you do this and you do that. You better make sure it's God, not Nathan Bryan or Arnie Bird or Bill Layton, just getting in the flesh a little bit. You better make sure it's God. Right. Amen. Is that all right tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You know, that little song says it took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on Nathan Bryant. He's had 35 years, Brother Yarborough, and I still feel like it's just a mess. Just a lump of clay that he has to keep taking down, remolding in my prayer closet. Nope, haven't got it right yet. Go back to the prayer closet again, mold it a little more. 35 years he's been patient with me, Brother Lee. He's still working on me. But I thank God, the little lady said, I ain't what I want to be. I sure ain't what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I was.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in His love divine. In the book, oh, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Lord, I am trusting in Your love divine. Oh, every book is mine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine.
Believe that tonight.
Every promise in the book, it's mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Lord, I am trusting in Your love divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every promise in the book. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in Your love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every promise in the book, it's mine. Lord, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in Your love divine. Every promise in the book, it's mine.
Once more.
Every promise in the book is mine. Oh, every chapter, every verse, every line. Oh, I am trusting in Your love divine. Oh, every promise in the book is mine.
Coming to dine tonight. Amen. God. God's definitely met us and fed us tonight. Amen. Oh, Jesus has a table spread. Saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he doth feed. He supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command, for the Master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire, thus he satisfied. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Stand. Soon the Lamb he'll take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, it'll be a glorious sight. All the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Invites his chosen people, come and dine. Oh, with his manna he doth feed, and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast with Jesus' table all the time. Done much more than I deserve.
serve, you've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve, you've surely been good to me. You've done much more than I deserve, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Well, you showed me the message, gave me peace, you've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace, you've surely been good to me. You showed me the message, gave me peace, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Body when I was sick, you've surely been good to me. Thank you, Lord. Body when I was sick, you've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could. We go.